Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Chapter 18, how many of you are ready to dive in? We've been talking about foundation in chapter 17 and 16 last week. You see the Apostle Paul going to the Gentiles and God beginning to put ordained people into his life. Now, I'm going to say this again because it's worth saying again. You're only one person away from your miracle. You're only one person away from being in lack. No, y'all ain't going to help me. You're one person away that God can put into your life to propel you or free you up. No, y'all didn't hear that. How many of y'all in here realize when you get somebody that comes in beside you and they take the load off of you, what happens? Woo! Come on. Some of y'all know just what I'm talking about. Whenever you need a break and somebody calls and said, I'll babysit. Now, how come the guys were quiet and all the women went, yeah? No. How many of us in here are in a place where we're ready to move forward? I dare you just to reach over and tap somebody on the shoulder and say, it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. So God has got to put people in your path for one of two things. When God plants somebody in your life, it's either to lead you or you lead them. I told you this on last Tuesday night. God brings people into your life to either lead you or you lead them. Amen? So when we talk about foundation and you look at the book of Acts, it's the church. The church should be functioning like the book of Acts. There should be miracles, signs, and wonders. There should be people getting saved. There should be people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And talking in them tongues. Y'all don't even want to go there. Okay, if you didn't know it, you're in a Pentecostal church, so you might as well go ahead and get ready. Acts chapter 18, we're diving in. Are you ready? After all of these things in chapter 17, Paul departed from Athens and he came to Corinth. How many of y'all realize that when you read your Bible in the New Testament, it says 1st and 2nd Corinthians? He's speaking to the church. So here is the birthing of the church of Corinth. Everybody say a new work. No. Say a new work. If y'all were here on Sunday, you seen pastors swinging around because God's getting ready to burst some things in a lot of us. Huh? I told y'all on Sunday, guys, y'all better get ready. And you find him going to Corinth. Now watch what happens as soon as he gets there. Watch what happens. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now watch why they were there. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. Now watch this. They were not Greek. They were not Romans. They were Jews. Oh, I'm going to help some of y'all real quick. And they're in a different country, a different nationality, a different color. No, y'all missing me already yet. And Paul runs into them, and instantly they become a part of the kingdom of God. At this moment, they believe, they knew God, and then when Paul comes in, now his job is to lead and guide them and direct them, and he gets his two first people of the foundation for the church of Corinth. Can I just say this? It takes foundational people to build a church. No. You got to hear me. See, a lot of us come to church and we just want to sit in a pew. We just want to do this. We just want to do that. But do you understand when God plants you somewhere, it's so you can be a building block of the kingdom of God. Not just a church, but the kingdom of God. No, y'all ain't hearing me. You may come to Beach Family Worship Center, but you're a block in the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody. So when you come, get your mind out of being just the church and realize you're a pillar. Oh, y'all ain't catching this. No, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to preach it. I'm trying to teach, but I'm going to preach it. You are a piece of the foundation. Those of you that are here right now, God is calling you to be planted, grounded, and placed for such a time as this. If y'all heard me on Sunday morning, the word of God that came out of this place, the word of God was, listen, it is time, and you heard the clock begin to tick down. Can I help you? Some of you are getting in the place where you're just about to have the encounter with God you always desired. Hallelujah. Here you find Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife team, and you watch them as Paul and them begin to birth a church. Now, here's what I want to help you with. If the book of Acts is the pattern of the church, then we need to learn what this means. There's no black church. There's no white church. There's no Hispanic church. There's no any nationality type of church. We're the body of Christ. There's no denominational church. No, y'all ain't hearing me. Listen, we all come to God the same way through Jesus Christ. We're one body. God made us where we even bleed alike. So why would we let anything divide us? Come on. Guys, y'all got to hear me. Watch this. He took two Jews that wasn't even supposed to be there, and he plants them there. Kind of sounds like this church. You know what I got when I first came here? Well, you the white church. You know what I got this past year and less than 6 months ago? Now you the black church. You know what I want to look at? I look at them, I said, no, we are the church. As a matter of fact, we're that church, okay? We're that church that's not bound by what you think or you say or how you look at us. We're that church that's going to follow God and follow the Holy Spirit, touch lives. It don't matter if you come from the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. It don't matter if you got money in your pocket or you don't have money in your pocket. It don't matter if you were whatever before. That is not who you are now. It's because the church has to get to the place where they realize it ain't about us anyways, it's about Christ. So here you find Aquila and Priscilla coming in and starting a work that everybody else said I wouldn't do. Sounds familiar. They tried to talk me out of Georgetown. You lost your mind going to Georgetown. No church makes it in Georgetown except for the ones that's been there forever. And I looked at them and said, but you don't understand. If God gave me a word, No. Y'all miss this. If God gave me a word to go, then God will bring the people that needs to be there. He will bring the supply that needs to be there. They may travel from Conway and Andrews and Charleston and Myrtle Beach and Surfside, but they're going to come because the Spirit of God has brought them into the house of God. It don't matter if they live in a mansion or they live in a small hut. All that makes a difference is that God said, go, birth, and do. Going on six. 6 years later, and the youth ministry's packed. The children's ministry's packed. We coming out of this section, getting ready to go to that section. We getting ready to have to put chairs out on Sunday morning. See, the difference is when God sends you, then God meets you. When God says go, he... Listen, I ain't made it past the first two verses yet. If God gave you a word and you move, he will, where there is vision, there is provision. Come on. Where there is a need, he is the supply. Come on, you guys got to hear this. You got to catch this in your life. So when God gives you the word to move, he'll confirm it through his word or through the word of someone who knows God. Don't you launch out on your own. We'll find out more about that when we get there. Now watch this, verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, for they were tent makers. Isn't it funny how when God puts you with somebody, you got something in common? No. You got to catch this. God's not going to bring somebody that has nothing in common with you. Hello? You get around them, you have nothing to talk about. Really? Come on. Or you get around them and you clash. Oh, is that God? Watch this. God will bring people in your life to be, as what the word says, iron sharpening iron. Do you understand what happens in that? There is a clanging. There is, no, y'all don't like me right now. Well, Pastor, I don't like what you said. All I'm doing is just, that's all I'm doing. All I'm doing is getting you to think. All I'm doing is getting you to out of your rut so you can receive. Oh, y'all missed that. See, if you're in a rut, you don't get nothing. But when you come out of the rut, you receive. How many of y'all been in a rut? No. Oh, look at the hands. Yeah. Thank the Lord I didn't have to cast out any lying spirits tonight. How many of us has been in a rut? How many of us has ever been in a place where you didn't want to come to church, you didn't feel good, you didn't look? Well, never, I didn't say that. I had to back off of that one because all the women was looking at me funny. It's because you let so much get on you that even your face had changed. When the Word of God says that you're supposed to set your face as flint. Oh, Pastor, let me just move on. Y'all looking at me funny. Verse 4 and 5 and 6, you find that in 4 and 5, he goes in and begins to actually teach, and he confronts the lies of religion. Y'all didn't like that. He confronts their unbelief. He confronts their witchcraft. He confronts their old mindsets. And in verse 6, watch what happens. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, now watch what he did. He shook his raiment. See, some of y'all still ain't got it. Sometimes you just got to shake it. He shook his raiment in front of them. Your junk, your words, your actions. He shook himself. Watch this. And he said unto them, your blood be on your own heads, for I am... Do you understand what they were trying to do? They were trying to make him filthy. Come on. Who around you is trying to make you filthy? Pastor, can you just preach right here for a second? Pastor, can you just preach right here for a second? If you fly with buzzards, you become a buzzard, but you're an eagle, so why are you hanging with buzzards? The word says you're to soar like an eagle. And let me help everybody here. You can't help nobody. Only Jesus can help somebody. Is everybody hearing your pastor? Listen, my job as a pastor and your job, all you're supposed to do is catch them for the Lord and let him clean them. That's why God used fishermen. So why are you taking that on? Some of y'all in here are so depressed right now because you got a lost loved one and you're crying to God. And God said, if you just let go of the fish, I can clean them. Just let it go. I can't do nothing with this crazy husband I got. Oh, y'all don't want me to go there. I can't do nothing with this crazy wife that I got. I can't do nothing with this rebellious child I got. No, y'all, listen. Is it okay if I preach the word and be truthful right here? The difference is that Jesus said if you cast your cares upon him. Sometimes you just got to release it so he can get your joy back. Preach, Pastor Eric. Get your joy back. See, when you release, you get back. No, y'all didn't. Watch this. Because when you release, your hands get empty to receive. That's for somebody right here. That's for somebody right here. The Lord just said, the difference is that your hands are so full, you couldn't receive it if God was pouring it out. And he's not a God of waste. He's a God of more than enough. Y'all okay? Everybody okay? Y'all looking at me weird again. Can I move on? Let me just move on. Y'all give me the look. For I am clean, And from henceforth I go to the Gentiles. Now watch this. There's time when people just will not receive. So you just need to move on. That's not my words. That's the word. When people cannot receive from you anymore, move on. Because what you're doing then is wasting your blessing. You're wasting your inheritance, and you're wasting the miracle signs and wonders that God has planned for other people. You got to move. No, say it. You got to move. How many of you right now, and just be honest with me, are at a place and you can raise your hand and say, I just got to move on? No, let me see your hand, because tonight this is truth. Lord, I realize tonight that in this area I just got to move on and let you do it. That's release right there. How many of you right there feels release? Just that's it. Okay? Because on the other side of that, you're getting ready to see something. How many of y'all are still with me? Are you still with me? Look at verse 7. And he departed and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now watch this. He went from a place where nobody would receive to the place where they were hungry. Here's the difference. When people don't want what you got, move on, because there's somebody who needs it. You're throwing your pearl before swine. Oh, Jesus, help me right now. Listen, quit throwing it. If you'll just let go, you'll see that God will redeem them. That's hard, Pastor. You don't know. That's hard. No, listen, the hardest thing was for God to let his son go to a cross so that that person could be free, but you're in the way. Did that just help somebody? You got to relate. Let me move on. In Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians here and believed and were baptized. Here goes the church. Boom! That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for in this church right here. I'm waiting for the boom. All of a sudden, everything that's been said and everything that's been done comes into fruition, and God goes, here it is. Can I just help you? We're at the point where God's getting ready to say, here it is. And you're not going to have a seat. Never mind. Y'all didn't like that. I'm going to have to put Stephanie a ramp into the sound booth. That's all she's going to be able to see. No, listen. How many of y'all believe that if we will just do what the Word says, you can count it? See, I can't wait for the day when there's such a hunger in Georgetown for the presence of God that people are standing outside waiting to unlock the door. No, how many of you were ready tonight? You come tonight and you're just like, man, I'm hungry for God. I need a word tonight. Man, I just need the presence of God. Is there anybody, just be honest with me and just say, hey, I need something out of the norm. I need something that's going to hit me in my core. Oh, come on, somebody. Watch this. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Now watch this. You will not get a word from God when you're in a place that will not receive, or you will not receive. But when you move, it got quiet here, didn't it? But when you make the choice to move, can I just tell some of y'all, I got to move out of the mindset. I got to move out of the conversations with people. No, y'all got to hear me. Watch this. I got to move out of my habit. Is this helping anybody? Is this causing you to really think about some things? Because here's what happens is, as fast as you open the door, the devil will take you right back around into the house that you just came out of. When Jesus is the door, you ask him to close it and you move on. Okay, I see the looks. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in a vision. He said, don't be afraid, but speak, and don't hold your peace. Uh-oh. You see it? For I am with you, and no man will set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. Are you ready for this? A city nobody else wanted to deal with is the very city that God said, there's more than just what you see in front of you. There's many that will come to your aid. Oh, y'all ain't going to hear this. No, listen to me. Listen to me. Are you ready? Many of us in here are putting our eyes on the few friends we have and binding up the ones that God's trying to bring to you, or not releasing the ones that's really not your friend in the first. When there's others around you that's coming in who's got your back. No, you need to look at somebody and say, you got my back? No, you got my back? You going to help me? Okay, you going to tell me truth? You going to help me walk it straight? Okay, you're going to tell me now that, listen, don't play no games with me. I need some people who's going to be foundational people that when they come into your life, they'll look at you and say, Pastor, I need to warn you. Okay, I listen. And how about your life? Do you really trust the people that God's brought into your life to speak into your life? Paul. Don't worry about the few that you see in your church right now, because I'm getting ready to bring more who's really got your back too. They just ain't got here yet. Can I just ask you a question? How many of you pray for divine connections? 1, 2, 3, 4 hands. 5 hands. Can I just shift something in you right now? Are you ready? When you wake up in the morning, you need to start praying for divine connections. How many of y'all can pray for divine? Pastor, what is a divine connection? It's one that God has set up from the beginning of time to help you fulfill your purpose. I'm not here by accident. I was put here for you. I didn't choose it. God said go. Paul didn't choose it. God said go. Are you catching this? And when God says go and we move, miracles happen. Are you seeing this? Then he begins to continue there for 6 months teaching. Can I just break this down where you catch this real quick? And finally it gets to the place where he can no longer work in that place. Now watch what happens. Go with me to verse 24 because I can't wait to get to chapter 19. Are you ready? And in verse 24, here comes another foundation. Are y'all ready for this? Watch this. How many of you realize that God will bring the people into your life that you need to fulfill the call of God in your life? No, guys, please hear me. Please hear me. How many of us in here, I'm not going to pick on ages, but how many of us in here feel like we're getting to the place now where we're getting really to, you know, we need to let the younger ager handle it. Let's let the young ages begin to handle it. Let's. I'm so glad nobody raised their hand because I was going to get you. Nobody retires here. We refire. As a matter of fact, let me help some of us older, mature people. Our job is to raise up the younger ones. So that means we have an even greater job now. Doesn't mean we got to stand on the street corner and preach. We let the younger ones maybe want to do that. But in the same token, our job is to raise them up, disciple them, show them the way, and then lead them to how to get there. But it takes foundational people to grow the church. I ain't talking about Beach Family. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the church. So watch this. There was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. Eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he comes to Ephesus. Now, I want you to catch this. Are you ready? There is some people, watch this. Y'all catch this. I'll give it a second. There is some people who know in their head this. They know the scriptures. But see, there's a problem. What you know up here has to come here. Because when it comes here, then it can come out here. No, y'all got to catch me. Watch this. Apollos, when you look at this guy, he was zealous. He was a firecracker. He was an evangelist. So when he got up, how many of y'all know Pastor Matt from church in Myrtle Beach? Well, I'm gonna ask him to come up here after summer camp, and I'm gonna cut him loose because this guy right here can. I mean, when he just never takes a breath. He's a walking Bible. Okay, and listen, he will go until he has no voice left. He is an example of Apollos. Apollos was a firecracker. If anybody rose up to try to debate with him, he would take the word and just He was an eloquent man. He was super smart. And when he came to Ephesus, there was something that was getting ready to drastically and dramatically change in his life. Look at verse 25. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him aside and expanded unto him the way of God more. What? More. Okay, let me just help you. We all don't know everything. I don't care if you've been preaching for 30 years or 30 minutes. You don't know everything, and there's always somebody that God will bring in your life to help mold you, shape you, and prep you, and push you into where you need to be. Do you understand? Aquila and Priscilla had just helped birth the church in Corinth. Listen, they're young pastors. And when they hear this guy preaching, they went, you know what? There is a great gifting and calling there, but there's some areas that he just needs some. Come on, listen. Can I just help everybody here? All pastor's job is, because all of you have a great anointing. We just said that in the beginning, didn't we? All of you have a great calling for God. And all I do is just pull you aside and just turn the dials a little bit more. Come on, let me hang around you a little while. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me hang around you a little while. I'll just. I don't drop a hard word sometimes. Sometimes I just drop a little word. Of course, then there's sometimes I just take a sledgehammer to it. Or there's just sometimes I just look at you because I don't have to say anything. You look at me and you go, I got it. Okay. And it's not in anger. It's not in anything. It's in love. Do you understand? They pulled this guy aside because they seen the gift and the calling of God in his life, and they said, all we got to do is just help you just a little bit, and we're going to watch the anointing take over and do even. Watch this. And when he was disposed, he passed through the brethren, exhorting the disciples. This is Paul. And when he had come, he helped them which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that the public shown by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. You begin to see this guy after he was taught. You see, everywhere he went, he made a difference. It wasn't just his, y'all ain't going to like me when I say this. You can have a great gifting, but if there's no anointing, you can have a beautiful voice. But to me, if there's no anointing, it doesn't help my soul. Listen, I go and listen to choirs. I listen to instrumental music. I listen to everything that you can think of. But listen, there ain't nothing like whenever I listen to someone who has an anointing. Because when they speak and they begin to sing, something breaks. I could feel it in the spirit. I'm just like, oh, that's it right there. Oh, that's it right there. When I listen to people who's been through, I listen to people who's got the knowledge of. and they release it through a song. And I'll be sitting there and I'll be working, and all of a sudden they'll hit that thing and I'll hear that note come out, and it'll be the note of heaven. It won't be their voice. It won't be the music. It'll be the note of heaven. And when the note of heaven is struck and the anointing is released, I go, oh, God, there it is right there. Something triggers on the inside. I listen to men preach, and I listen to women preach, and I let them talk, and they go. But all of a sudden, when the sound of authority comes through, I begin to hear it, and then I hear the voice of the Lord begin to speak through them, and I begin to feel something break on the inside of me, or I feel me begin to rise up. That's when I realize the anointing of God and the presence of God is now in place. See, I don't want to be out of the will of God. I don't want to be out just a little bit. I want to be right in alignment with where he is. So when the anointing moves and he says, go, I go. And he meets me there. When he says, speak, and I speak, it's his voice and it's not my voice. Is this helping anybody? Apollos took those words from Priscilla and Aquila and listened to Paul. And when he did, it says right there that then he was able to speak to them where the rest of them couldn't. Can I just help you? Some of y'all in here, I can't reach the people that you can. They won't listen to me. They're not going to listen to me. Just because I have a pastor in front of my name. Because they look at me and say, you got it all together, when I don't. But take someone who walks beside them, works with them, is a family member. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Okay. Do you understand? You're an example of Christ everywhere you go. You're an extension of this guy right here. You're an extension even more of Christ. Do you understand the Lord? If he really wanted to get people, they'll even have dreams to come to know the Lord. That's how the Muslims are getting converted by the thousands. They're having dreams right now. Jesus is coming to them in their dreams and proving to them that there is only one way to God, and it's not Muhammad. By the thousands, they're being converted right now. You realize that the Lord is deciding to use you. Hey, Apollos. Hey, Priscilla and Aquila. Hey, Stephen. Come on. Are you beginning to realize that right here the Lord is trying to get you, not me. He's trying to get the body to wake up. See, in the last days it says that people will begin to fall away. They'll fall asleep. We're in one of the areas right now, I believe it's the greatest push of the anointing of God. You can say what you want to, but I just sat here today and watched an actor stand up, Chris Pratt. And he stood up and he said, I've got 9 keys on MTV Awards. There's 9 keys to help you. He won the Generation Award. You know what he said? There is a God, and he loves you. I about fell off my couch. Do you realize that he just reached people I couldn't reach? MTV Awards. MTV used to be, And the man stands up and receives a generation award, and he's telling every generation, there's a God. And he gets down to number 8 on his list, because there were some funny ones on there. I had to even laugh. And he said, you need to pray. And he said, if you don't know how, learn how. He said, because it's good for you. So I about, pastor about ran around I was about to run around my living room and just shout hallelujah. Because you know what God's doing? God's raising up people where we wouldn't do it before, and the church wants to be asleep and quiet. God said, I'll prove to everybody in this world I'll use people in high places to reach people. Ooh, y'all need to hear. Y'all better catch this. Can we get to verse? Let's just get to chapter 19. Can you handle 20 more minutes? Are you getting anything? Y'all want some more or not? I can quit now. One more? Let's get to some good stuff. You better get your notebooks. Oh, no, it gets better. You got your notebooks? Chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through the upper coast, and he came to Ephesus. How many of y'all realize that's where the book of Ephesians come from? It's another church. Isn't it funny where you guys are learning here? Oh, wow, you mean Ephesians and Corinthians as churches? It's letters to the church. Actually, it's his letters to you. Watch this. And he found certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as even heard there be any Holy Ghost. They knew salvation, but they were missing the promise of God. Oh, gosh, y'all got to hear me. Listen, it's one thing to be saved, but listen, I want the full promises of God, which are yes and amen. Hello, come on. How many of y'all can lift your hands and say the full promise? I want the full promise. How many of y'all, when you sit down, they come in and they give you a six-ounce steak. They come down, they cut you an ounce off, and they say, okay, here's all you get. Some of you get mad and throw your fork at them. But yet we come to church, and you saw off an ounce of the anointing and you eat of it and you go, well, the rest of it, I don't know. I want to come to church and get everything he's got for me. I want to be so fat and full when I leave here. I want to waddle out the door. Come on. It's better yet, I want to be so drunk in the Holy Ghost, and I'm sorry if I said that and you guys don't like it, that I have to crawl out the door. I want the presence of God so real in here. Never mind. Watch this. And he said unto them, verse 3, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. They had been saved and water baptized, but they'd never been filled with the Holy Spirit. All the way in Ephesus. In Ephesians, I'm sorry. All the way to right there, you find them in a place where they were saved. They were water baptized. They were doing the work of the Lord. I want to show you a hunger factor. Can I show you a hunger factor? Go to verse 4. Watch verse 4. As soon as truth came, then said Paul, John baptized in the baptism of repentance and in water, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. He actually told them, he says, look, you believed, you were saved, you were water baptized. But look at verse 5. Verse 5, when you get there. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They confessed out of their mouth, you know what? We heard about this, but now we want it. No, y'all need to hear me. How many of us has heard great messages, great preaching, great words of prophecy over your life, but yet you still have not really received? When they heard that it was Jesus, they received it in verse 6. Verse 6, here we go. Is everybody still with me? And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. Would that have been good enough? Would that have been good enough? Watch this. They didn't just speak with tongues, they prophesied. No, listen. There is different gifts. Do you understand? This is the first time. No, y'all missed that. This is the first time you see people get filled with the Holy Spirit and then turn around and prophesy. Gentiles. Watch this. The anointing of God is increasing. Y'all remember before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. They were water baptized, the Gentiles. But now you find them believing, receiving, and instantly beginning to serve and prophesy. Can I help you? What is your appetite like? What is your appetite like? What is... Guys, I am so hungry for what God wants to do that I beg him every time I come through the door of this church, that I see people crawl out of here or we have to chauffeur them home. No, y'all. I want to see it where people walk in with canes like one did Sunday. No. See, you have to understand where there's expectancy, there's miracles. I want to see it where one walked in like this on Sunday. And in the middle of praise and worship, there was a word that was given to the church. And the next thing I know, that cane was slung across his shoulder, and he was walking across the front of my church. And he stopped right here and looked at me, and he went, "This is done." And he walked right around the back, made a victory march, walked right out to his car, threw the cane in his car, and walked right back into this church and sat down and lifted his hands and said, "Thank you, Jesus." I don't want that just this Sunday. I want it next Sunday. I want people in walkers to come in and watch the canes and the walkers go out the door. I want to see people coming in wheelchairs and watch the wheelchairs go out the door. I want to see people come in with cancer and come back with x-rays. I want to see people come back and they show me their DNA where it used to be and it's not anymore. I want to see it. I want to see it. No, guys, I want to see it. Do you understand? We're in a place where God says, listen, if you'll do what I say, you'll see it. If the church will do what the church is supposed to do, what the church is supposed to do, then we will see it. Look at somebody and say, we will see it. Oh, let me keep going. Let me keep going. Lord, help me. Verse 7, and all that the men were, there was about 12 of them. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden you find that number 12 again? Foundation. No, guys, y'all got to hear me. How did it start? Are y'all missing this? Is this okay? Y'all all right? Because me and you, it's like everybody's going, oh, my sponge is full, Pastor. Squeeze it. Take a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I beg you. What God started with his son, he turns around and does again with the Gentiles. If he did it once, if he healed you once, if he supplied for you once, if he delivered you once, there's some of us in here, we stay in a place of deliverance. Oh, God, and he brings you out. Oh, God, and he brings you out. Stop falling in it so you don't have to go, God, bring me out. Anyways, let me move on. Watch this. And again, in verse 8 through 10, I need you to see this, and 8 and 9 especially, they begin to preach, and people begin to bucket against it again. He stayed there 3 months, preaching the kingdom of God. Verse 9, he runs into a lot of hard-hearted people. And watch what he did. In verse 9, he departed from them, and he separated the disciples. What did he do again? If you don't want it, y'all seen a pattern? Did he love them? Yes. Y'all remember the last time he departed? Jesus showed up and spoke to him personally. Remember that? Can I just make sure this sinks into everybody? All right? Make sure this sinks in right here. When you move on, it releases God. Let me just prove it to you. Watch this. He moved on. Verse 10, and he continued by the space of 2 years. He dwelt in Asia. Remember the first time he tried to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit said no. Y'all remember that? You know, if God brought you to a place one time and he said no, he'll bring you back around again when you're ready. Do you understand when he brings you back around, he's going to make sure the people's with you that need... Anyways... See, let me just help you. In this church, I've been around this mountain a couple times with buildings, with people. And you know what? Every time that I have to go back around again, God brings in more foundation to propel me. It reminds me of David's sling. See, you have to get to a certain level to release that thing. If you're weak, you can't sling that rock fast enough to get the distance out of it. No, y'all missing it. Y'all missing this. Sometimes it takes more people to get that rascal. Come on. What's it like when you come to church and you got about 6 or 7 people who's so on fire it causes the whole place to begin to... Come on, Paul and Silas. It took 2 inside of a prison to get it, to crank that thermostat up to where God could release. No, how many of y'all are realizing right here? You're realizing it right here. Oh, Lord. Watch this. Verse 11. He continued 2 years there in Asia. Now watch in verse 11. And God wrought special miracles. Guys, can I help you? There's miracles. And then there's special. You know, it never clicked in my mind all the years I've studied the Word. I was a professor in a Bible college and taught the book of Acts. It never crossed my mind that right here the Lord was trying to tell me there is something called miracles. But there's another level of special. Golly. I was just happy to see a miracle. No, Lord. Lord, grow me to the place where we can see the I feel the Holy Spirit so strong right this moment. I want to get to the level where God so shows up that everybody say, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard. Guys, can the church get to the place where we see special miracles? Can we grow to the place where we can believe when they can't believe? Oh, guys, listen. Watch this. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons. Why do you think Pastor preaches with a handkerchief? I ran out. I didn't have one tonight. Why did I not have one? The anointing was so embedded in the man of God. Are you ready for this? Watch this. The anointing was so embedded in the man of God that when he sweated, everybody else would consider that nasty. You know what the Holy Spirit just showed me? It was almost this. It almost brought me back to when Jesus, when he was in the garden, it said his sweat was like blood. I began to realize at that moment that it was already beginning to cleanse in the garden. There's a sermon there I'll preach one of these days. Do you understand that as a man of God preached? He literally took his shirt off and his aprons and they would cut it up and send it. Now watch what happens. Watch this. And the diseases departed from them. Evil spirits went out of them. Now, can I just put a challenge out to this church? I did it last year. Are y'all ready for this? Starting this Sunday, I'm going to pray that there begins to be special miracles that happen in this church. This ain't hocus pocus. Are you ready? Watch this. Bring an apron. Bring a handkerchief. Bring a piece of cloth. Let's just let the anointing of God saturate it here. And you know what? If you got somebody who has a hard time in their life, just sneak it under their pillow. Can I just help some of y'all? And you're going to think I'm crazy. Y'all ready for this? My covering, this woman brought him. I know y'all going to look at me weird right now. I'm going to say it anyways. This woman brought to him a pair of underwear because her husband had cancer. And all she asked him to do was just wear them. That sounds weird. Took him home, washed him, stuck them in the drawer. Her husband wore them, went back to the doctor. What do you have faith for? What do you have faith for? What do you believe? We've sent handkerchiefs home, and the wives put them under their pillows, and all of a sudden their husbands quit acting out, can't seem to drink or can't seem to do what they used to do. Kids begin to level out. No, y'all ain't gonna say no. Listen, if he did it once, I'd love to see a whole altar full of nothing but just handkerchiefs and cloths. If you were here Sunday, we used the cover-ups just to throw them around people because you know what? We didn't have enough to do it. I don't care what it is. You bring it. Can we keep going? Watch this. Verse 13. I want to get here. There's a difference between real and fake. One person laughed because they know it's true. There's a difference between real and fake. Not everything that shines is gold or a diamond. There's facades for everything there is. I want you to look at this next part because I'll be done after this. Watch this. There was a certain of vagabond Jews, exorcists, and they took upon them to call over them which had an evil spirit. And they called on the name of Jesus, saying, "We abjure you, we ask you, by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. Can I help you? They were in the church. Their daddy was a chief priest. They thought they had the authority. They thought it was just passed down from daddy. They had done this thing a couple times before, but they seen how all Paul had to do was say, "Come out." To have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. How many of you have seen this over and over again? Simon the sorcerer. To have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Listen, if you call yourself a Christian, why would you not want all that God has for you? Why are you just dwelling in a piece of it when he's offered you the whole table? Watch this. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" No, you need to hear me. I have watched and I've been a part of seeing people get delivered and set free. I've watched it to where I had one stand in this altar and I said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." And it got quiet. And then I looked at the man, I said, "I'm not talking to you. Do you want to be free?" And he said, "No." And I turned. Because when a person doesn't want to be free, I'm not forcing them to get free. Y'all need to hear this. Watch this. And here you find these men jumping on something that really they couldn't jump on. Their religion told them how to. Guys, I've heard some crazy stuff where people trying to cast out demons making kids drink oil. You're going to pour olive oil down a child's throat right here in Georgetown. Man, when that mama came to me, I looked at him, I said, "What church did you take them to?" You got somebody holding them down on the floor? I said, let me tell you something. Everywhere Jesus went, he spoke to them and they came out. The disciples spoke to them and they came out. It doesn't say you lay hands on them anywhere. You got to understand it ain't nothing to do with you or the power that you got. Man, no, that's not the way it works. I got one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He went down in hell. Death took the keys, took everything from him, put the devil, who's the chief of them all, under his feet. So all I got to do is stand and say, "In the name of Jesus, come out of them right now." But when you don't have him on the inside, you better believe the enemy knows it. He looks at them and he says, okay, Jesus, I know. Because even when they say his name, we all shake. Paul, I know, because everywhere he goes, he even causes the soothsayers to... We tried to mask it, and he had this sermon to call us out. Paul, I know, but you, I don't know. So if I don't know you, I have the authority over you. The next thing you know is when they come out, when that rascal come out and got a hold of them, each one of them, he beat them down, stripped them naked, and kicked them out the door. You know why he did that? It's because nakedness is shame. Shame on you to think you can do it your way. Ooh, Pastor, why'd you have to go there? Now watch this. You ready? I went through verse 16. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks, all dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now watch this. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now look at verse 19, because we're about to do this too. Verse 19. I'm going to give them a chance to get there, because you got to see this on the screen. I got to make sure you see this. And many of them also which use curious arts, they brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Can I just give you a number of what that is today? $5.5 million. Do you understand that at that moment, people begin to realize the thing that they thought they can control, they didn't have no control over, so they needed to go ahead and give it to the one who did have control. Can I just help you right now? Listen, there's people out there who dabble in witchcraft and play with Ouija boards and go to astrology and play with your horoscopes and do all the stuff that you want to do. You need to listen to Pastor. You need to hear me really well. You need to take all that garbage, bring it in here to the church, and we're going to burn it. Hello. You want to see your kids line up? Quit playing in things. You wonder why things are going nuts. Why is your finances going crazy? Because there's something that's in your house or you've allowed in your house that needs to come out. Oh, Pastor, did you have to go here? Some of you reading books on self-help that comes from mysticism. Some of you are watching shows that tells you there's more ways to get to God. I know Pastor just went here, but listen, the Lord is coming back for a spotless bride. It is my job to stand up and reveal or uncover the tactics of the enemy. I'm going to speak to some people in here because, listen, there's some of you guys in here, you have pornography books, movies. You got movies in your house that are R-rated that's not supposed to be there. Hello, somebody. It's got real quiet right now. It's real. You see how real it is right now. You watched a man walk across here and carry a cane out. How many of you really want a move of God? How many of you are ready to see not just miracles, but special miracles? Do you understand? Listen, I don't want anybody walking out of here and say, you know what? In the name of Jesus that Pastor Eric preaches, Beach Family Worship Center believes. Don't come in here and try to use our name on anything. If you noticed, I'm very careful. I don't even put out stickers for people to put on the back of their car. Some of us drive like the devil. Just being truthful. I've been wanting to put out Beach Family Worship Center t-shirts for years, but I'm like, where are you going to be and wear my t-shirt? Is this okay? Am I being truthful? You're an example of Christ. Not just my church. You're an example of Christ. But we're entertaining things that don't need to be a part of our life. Pastor, you went from preaching to dabbling. No, I went from preaching to telling truth even above it. Because there's some things that, listen, you know you've held on to. And here's something the Holy Spirit just said. There's something that some of you ladies have got that a man gave you. Now, you need to hear me. This is very important. And when he gave you this thing, it's a soul tie. And every time you see it, it makes you feel a certain way. I don't know who those ladies, it's more than one. And what the Lord is saying is that's become a curious art. Because you are going back and dwelling in the thing that was sin. And you're not that person anymore. That was for some ladies in the house. I'm just telling you what I heard. I picked on the men because of pornography and different things. I had to call that one out. But I'm going to be honest with you. Ladies, what you are doing is the same. Because you're derailing the purpose and the plan of God for your life because you still haven't moved on. It's really quiet up in here right now. Y'all are looking at me funny, but I'm telling you, I just heard the Lord speak it very clearly. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that when you get home tonight, the Holy Spirit's going to take you right to it. Men, I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit takes you right to it. Boy, it's quiet in this place, isn't it? Is everybody okay? Well, y'all were fine when I was preaching hard, but buddy, when we got to right here, y'all just like, feels like the air just got sucked out of the room. Do me a favor, everybody just take a deep breath. It's okay. We've all missed it. And listen, you don't, listen, if you need to keep it secret, put it in a bag. But on Sunday, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Some of y'all won't even come to church Sunday. Why did you have me preach this? Because some of y'all, listen, the enemy will try to keep you at home because he knows if you bring it, you get free. Men, put it in a bag. Get free from it. And if you're married, then you need to sit down with your wife. If you need me to sit down with you, I will sit down with you because I am into healthy marriages. I'm sick of divorce. And it's rampant in the church. And I'm done with it. Is everybody good? Amen. You guys okay? Some of you are going, Pastor, that's some hard word. No, guys, if we want to be the church, this is the pattern. How many of you want to be that church? I just want to be the church the Holy Spirit's in charge of. Uncover it, reveal it, help me deal with it. Uncover it, reveal it, help me deal with it. My goodness, somebody need to write that one down. I'll put that on a shirt. Sure. Thank you. there's a testimony for if you bring your stuff on Sunday. There's a testimony for if you even come to church on Sunday. Okay? Guys, it's real. Okay? I need you to hear, Pastor. This is very real stuff. Okay? Very real. And my question to you is, when you look at these people, okay, $5.5 million they burnt. They realized that that thing was not going to cost them their freedom. Okay? So my question to you is this. What are you willing to let go of to get your freedom? Men, what is it you got to let go of to get your freedom? You know what, men? I challenge you to do this. You know what? Because some of y'all are so scared of this. Men, on Friday night, just in the closed group of men, you bring your stuff, we'll destroy it. You hear me, men? Don't escape out on me because I'll come to your house and get you. See, I can say that to the men because I'm a man. I'll come to your house and get you. Brother Johnny knows I will because I bring Brother Johnny with me. He's wore out. Watch this. Watch this. So everybody here just wants you to understand, okay, what we're doing is biblical. Okay? Just like speaking in tongues, there's levels in a church that has to happen for purity. Amen? Because can I help you with this? The word that God gave me about 3 weeks was, why are you worried about a building when I'm trying to build the man? So let me help everybody here. Why are you worried about your finances, your child, or anything else when God's trying to work on you? If he gets you where you need to be, he'll cause the rest to fall into place. Okay? So this is a word for everybody here. You heard it on Sunday as well. Some of us are just going to have to cut it off and let it get healthy. Amen? Anybody else got anything real quick? We got just probably 2 or 3 minutes. Yes. Preach right there. Can I tell you exactly, and guys, please listen to Pastor. When I read a book, it's only because the Lord led me to that book. And I have books. If you've been in my office, I got books, and that's still more books in storage. I only read the ones the Holy Spirit absolutely sends me to. And every time I read one of those, I shift. Does this make sense? And there's times when the Lord says, again, put it all away. Get in my word. Does everybody understand? But there is some things, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to convict our hearts. Listen, I've seen rings. I've been to places where I've literally had to go to some people. And guys, please, I pray that you be obedient to this word, because if not, the Holy Spirit will actually... I've been to the place where the Lord's actually had me describe it to them. That's not fun on my part. So don't be in fear of it. Just be obedient. Amen? Okay? How many of y'all just want to be free? How many of y'all want peace? Okay? How many of you want to grow? Guys, man, I'm telling you, every time we come to church, I'm expecting it just to go boom. Okay? Amen? Amen. All hearts clear? How's your stomach? a lot better than Sunday. Yeah, a little struggle there, huh? Okay. We're not going to give up. Okay, when there's a word given, we have to hold on to the word. Even in, just like that word said on, or that song said on Sunday, even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. Okay? So now do your part and God will do his. Amen? Amen. All hearts clear tonight. Did y'all enjoy the word? Did I take you too hard? Did I give it to you too hard? Okay. Did it give some of y'all some confirmation in some areas of your life? Okay. I pray that, because that's exactly, you know, I've begun to take Tuesdays off because the Holy Spirit has asked me to consecrate myself in his presence. And if you know Pastor, that is a sacrifice for me, because y'all know I'm a workaholic. I want to be here 24/7, 7 days a week, okay, because I love the house of God, all right? But when, yeah, actually my staff's like, what are you doing here? Well, I got to do payroll. Okay, so what are you doing here? You're done. Well, I got to straighten the church. What are you doing here? Go home. Okay, so they're helping me. Amen. Amen. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. And, you know, I just want to lift, just kind of shift the air a little bit, if y'all don't mind, because I know that was a tough word. Amen. It was a good word, necessary word, but let's just shift the atmosphere and let's get filled up before we leave. How many of y'all in here can just lift your hands up right now? Just lift your hands up. Just take a deep breath and just breathe and just release it. Father God, tonight, we just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, I just pray that right now you touch and you feel and you anoint every person in this house. I pray, Holy Spirit, you sweep up. I pray you sweep up and down the aisles of this church right now and just touch people's hearts. Lord, our desire is you. Our desire is your presence. I thank you for filling us with joy, which is our strength. I thank you for peace. And Lord, I thank you for healing right now. Lord, we still stand upon your word that by your stripes we were healed. So, Lord, we keep believing it and we keep holding on to your word until it manifests.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.